Yeah, that's right. It's the overnight. It's Friday into Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen, Matt Buboloff tonight, Roger Bash in the newsroom, Shantae Garth, Manning the producer, situation, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And I got to be honest, I am here tonight for the next 3 hours or so, and I want to be inspired. I want to be with you. I want to hear your stories. I want to tell you mine. I want to hear about your accomplishments of the past week, the past month, whatever you want to share. I'm looking at my Twitter feed, at the Carm here, Roger Badish.
Yeah.
And I got a motivator here from Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest human beings we've ever known, gone way too soon. Shantae just handed me a package of notes for tonight's show that's bigger than a book that I've ever read. I don't know what I'm going to do with all that, but I got it there, baby. I want to be inspired.
You're going to rock it.
This is the quote from Martin Luther King. If you can't fly, then run. Mm-hmm. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep on moving forward.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. It's all about forward progress in whatever way you go about it.
That's right.
And as we move into the dark days, which is winter in this city.
Right.
How cold did you say it's going to be this weekend? What are we dealing with here?
We could have wind chills below zero during the storm, and then possibly even colder coming in on Tuesday and Wednesday as we get more snow in the area.
Yeah, just pure brutality, right?
Chicago.
Yeah, you walk out your door, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get out on the street. You're going to work. It's hard enough to do that, right?
Yep.
Some of us, that doesn't come naturally. Like for me, when the bell hits in the morning, I'm not one of those guys. Bang!
You're not a quick riser.
Pop right out. See, no. And I have I'm a very fortunate person. I have a job that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I love coming here for the overnight. I love going to my job during the week at fansided.com where I make my videos. I love coming in here on the weekends. I mean, I have zero to complain about.
You're an Iron Man on the weekends.
Well, I do what I hate. When nature calls, or Stephanie Menendez or Todd Manley, at the Carm rings the bell, man. You want me to do the overnight? Absolutely, I want to do it. Can't wait. Can't wait to sit with a Roger Bash. Can't wait to sit with you from a 2 to 5 a.m. It's a privilege and an honor, and I don't take it lightly. But I'm sitting here as we go into winter, and I'm just going to be honest. I hate winter. Despise, abhor, if I could push a button and say that, I like the seasons. I want to be clear on that. I do. I like the fact like that when winter's over, I feel like, you know, I can push a button and say, you know what? I just accomplished something.
Yeah.
When they go from when the bell hits in late November, fall back, the clocks go back, you wake up the next day, you go to work, and then at 4:30 in the afternoon, it's dark. I know that we are in the tough part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we spring forward in March, you know what I do? I do a dance. I say, yes, sir. We made it again. On to summer. Baseball's coming around the corner here. And more so than that, it's going to be beautiful, sunshine, and warm. Till 9 o'clock at night, we can run around and play some tennis outside or whatever you like to do. And you can still have that daylight going on. That is an accomplishment. I like to celebrate. But right now, we've sort of been dancing around this winter thing for a little while. Had a tremendous fall. A
very late fall.
Right.
Yeah, very nice.
But now we're going into it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. Whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. We all have our challenges out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for us in this city, let's call it as it is. Winter is just a significant challenge. The parking spot.
Shoveling snow.
You live in the city. You got a chair out on some side street. And you're battling to you know, at some point this winter, this is going to happen.
You got to make your claim.
Yeah, my car is going to be so packed in.
Mm-hmm.
Ice all around it. Ugh.
But then you've got great public transportation. You can still get around the city.
Right, but okay, fine.
I mean, I'm being positive here.
I like your attitude, Roger.
All right.
But I'm just saying this.
Oh, like, I know. It's tough.
Let's say you make the choice that you just said you make.
Yeah. All right.
You're gonna walk down some icy street to the bus stop. Like for me, that's like standing out on Lawrence Avenue.
Okay.
Waiting for the bus.
With the wind howling around
you. It's misery.
Okay.
Or I walk to the Brown Line. You're standing on the platform. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
But you know what you bought into.
Right.
I
have a very simple question.
All right.
For everybody out there right now, 312-981-7200. First of all, there's a two-part question. Number one, I'd like you to puff out your chest and tell me what you've accomplished this week. What have you done? I want you to celebrate yourself. Whatever accomplishment you've had in your work life, in your home life, in your personal life, what have you done this week, perhaps, that you set out to do and you knocked that off? Like for me right now, I'm having a little bit of a winter eating festival, if I want to call it that. I've been crushing the Lou Malnati's pizza.
Ooh.
I've been knocking down some chocolate. I've been less than focused, but
you're celebrating the season.
But I laid it out there. I said, you know what? And I have a. I don't know if you know this, Roger. I made an amazing catch. Thanksgiving Day turkey football.
That's what I heard. I heard your description. Yeah. You also pulled something. I think.
Yeah. No, right? I landed right on the shoulder. I've got a I got a mild grade one separation.
Ooh.
Saw my guy, Dr. Dave Robb. He looked at me and he said, "Carmen, that's an injury that most people would not come and see the doctor for, but you did because you're soft." And I said, "I know, Dave. I am, but you know." I gotta know, man. I mean, I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I'm in pain. And when I'm in pain in the middle of the night, despite what health care costs and all that, and believe me, I gotta get my own insurance in my life over here. So, you know, that ain't cheap. But hey, I gotta know. Like, my body's worth some dough.
That's right.
I'm planning on making a run at 50.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a little closer to 50 than I like to think about. But, you know, I wanna play in the Maccabi Tennis Olympics at 50. The shoulder's got to be right.
How long you got to be off that thing now?
Well, I'm off it through the new year.
All right.
I mean, I'm not off it. There's certain movements.
You got to watch what you do.
There's certain movements I can't do.
Okay.
And I like to play the impact sports. I like to play my tennis. I like to play my basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that right now. I can't even swim because of the cross movements. Like, I can go up, but I can't go across. So the point is that my routine has been impacted, and I'm eating like a slob.
I know all about impacted routines.
Right. So,
when I was losing weight several years back, I was on that exercise bike every night, doing my calisthenics, putting in an hour, sweating up a storm, watching what I was eating. Then I got sick 2.5 years ago and put all the weight back on, and now it's a struggle to get back into that routine. You know, especially like you say, with the winter weather like this, it just makes you want to hide underneath a blanket. But you got to push forward.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And I know everybody is out there. I know everyone's battling.
Well, of course, everybody's got their own internal or external battles, and they're all doing what they need to do to push forward and if not go through it, get around it, right? And make things happen positively.
Roger, are you inspired?
I'm very inspired.
Yes,
are you kidding? I saw my oncologist yesterday.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, I know. I know you've been in a battle up there.
I've been in a lot of battles.
Yeah.
But I saw him yesterday, and I've been seeing him every 3 months ever since the surgery. And you know what he told me yesterday?
What'd he say?
I'll see you in 6 months.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, Roger Bash. Congratulations. That's awesome. Hey, coming on back here in 1 second, 312-981-7200, I should tell you that Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at ChicagoTribune.com. Simple question. Simple question coming back for you. Why do you continue to live in the greatest city on the planet, Chicago, Illinois, as we stare in the face of the polar vortex? Let me read you this. Meteorologists revealed this week the possible return of the winter phenomenon known as the polar vortex. The polar vortex that brought temperatures in the Midwest and Northeast down to record lows. That was in January 2014.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Now experts have warned that a new polar vortex has set its sights on Midwestern cities. And I know some of us like to avoid what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a political standpoint, from a weather standpoint, from a lot of standpoints. But we're in this together. And if you can tell me how you do it, how you get through it, how you go all Eskimo come winter, that I'm willing to get us all inspired here. I also have a discussion in the political world where we're going to get into, well, let's see, what is it? What do they say? A broken clock is right two times a day. Is that twice a day?
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
even a broken clock is correct two times a day.
I'm going to try to bring us together around that. And something that I absolutely positively agreed with that the president-elect talked about this week. All that coming up. WGN 222, good morning. Had a doubleheader last night, stopped at the Blackhawks game, and saw the Hawks and the Rangers, then left early, went over to the Chicago Theater, which if you haven't been to the Chicago Theater in a long time or ever or whatever, it's such a beautiful, incredible, you can just stare at the ceiling in that place and think, wow. Who in the world put this thing together? I mean, that's just art that you don't see nowadays, like, really anywhere. Anyway, so Jerry Seinfeld was there last night, and he was hysterical, and it was a very spirited crowd listening to Jerry go through the odd way and brilliant way that he looks at life. I mean, truly a different cat. 62 years old, Jerry Seinfeld, got married when he was 45. He's got three kids, which is kind of inspiring to a 43-year-old single man like myself. Like, this guy is just, he chased his career for a long time and got married what I think most people would consider late. And, you know, 62-year-old dad of three kids. One of his lines in his act, he talks about before he got married at 45, he never would hang out with any married people. He didn't want to know what their life was like. He had nothing in common with them. He felt like all he wanted to do was hang with single people. Now, as a married guy, he would never even hang out with a single person. Dude with a girlfriend, he's like, you're playing wiffle ball, man. I'm in the big leagues, pal. I'm in Afghanistan. I got. It was really funny. Very, very, very funny man. So that was Jerry. I look at a guy like that, and I'm thinking to myself, you've got so much dough and so much success. You don't need to be doing anything, right? But he just.
Well, he's doing what he loves doing.
He's doing what he loves to do. He's out there. He did two shows Thursday night. He did two shows tonight. And I'm sure he's making decent dough. It was not a cheap ticket to get to go see Jerry. I think the cheapest seats in there were, at least for tonight, were around $80. So I don't know what Jerry's clearing, but Jerry's clearing something good there. Yeah. But he's obviously not doing it for the dough. And it's a beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a guy like that who's in his third, right, 60 to 90, Does that make sense? Like, right? I mean, Roger, you're in there, right?
Yeah.
I just look at it like zero to 30, hopefully you're figuring out what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
30 to 60, hopefully you're making a bunch of dough. So in your third 30, you can do whatever you want to do.
That's right.
You don't, and I don't think like the whole vision back in the day of, well, when I get to 55 or 60, I get to retire and sit on the couch. I mean, who would really want to do that?
A lot of people aren't doing it.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying from a, you know, hopefully people can retire and all that stuff. I know that people.
Well, it'd be nice.
Right. I know that some people are working because they got to work. And,
right.
And that's, you know, part of the deal too. But if you're super fortunate and you don't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
You still want to be doing something, right?
Right.
I mean, why would you want to just say, oh, that's it, I'm done, I'm punched, I've completed my life, and now I'm going to lay on the couch and play golf once a week? That doesn't sound like fun. I think you want to do exactly what you want to do, and maybe you actually contribute to society in some ways, whatever's important on your heart, whatever that would be.
Give back.
Sure.
You know.
I would think you've acquired some wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your time on the earth, and whatever. However you want to bring that back in. And Jerry's doing it in a comedic way, making people laugh and sort of giving his own quirky take on the way we go about it. He's got his whole thing on coffee and how...
Have you seen that show?
Which one?
The Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah. But he does...
Hilarious.
Yeah, he has a whole bit on actually, though, buying your coffee and how people walk with their coffee. Like they hold the coffee out in front of them like they're important, right? I've got my coffee.
Right.
I've got my day started. I'm walking down the street. I have my coffee. I've got my latte and I'm cruising because look at me. I've accomplished this. I've been to Starbucks. I've got into Dunkin' Donuts and now I'm ready for my day. Here you go. I'm out there and I walk with power because I have my coffee in my hand and you don't. And look at me. And it just, I don't know how he, I don't know how it's, there's a,
it's observations on life. You know,
it's just hysterical.
Yeah,
I
life is funny when you look at it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, right. If you have the, depends on your viewpoint, Roger.
Well, but you can force yourself to. I mean, yeah, everybody goes through tough times. You and I both know that. We all know that. Our listeners know that. But doggone it, there is still a way that you can build yourself up, build up others around you, by incorporating a comedy, incorporating a more positive outlook on life, incorporating some joy, albeit short or long as it may be, and bring some positivity into your life.
That's right, baby. It's what we're all about, positivity, man. All about that positive flow. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to jump in. I was looking for your accomplishments this week. Give me anything you've done that makes you feel like you've done something good. I want to celebrate you as we get into our political discussion of the evening right after the 2:30 news. The Don did something this week that I want to give credit to. I think if you've, it's rare that I talk politics on the station because normally I'm doing a sports show and I try to stick to sports when I'm doing sports. When they do allow me to speak on other things, I have given my opinion on the election and like many, I was not thrilled the way it went, but I do think there's this whole concept of perhaps coming together, perhaps we can find some common ground. The Don said something this week that I'm like, you know what? I am 100% on board with that. So I want to give credit and I want to have a little bit of a conversation about how we do give credit to people that we generally have disagreements with, right?
Yeah.
And some people will always just have a line in the sand and they won't be able to see someone else's viewpoint. And that is not a great thing. So I want to play that forward. Hey, Kathy, welcome to WGN. You have an accomplishment this week that you'd like to share? Hang on a second, Kathy. Don't speak now. Speak now, Kathy. Good evening, Kathy. Good morning, whatever it is for you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can, Kathy. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Welcome.
So, you're welcome. Yes, sorry about your shoulder.
I've talked to you before, have I not, Kathy? Didn't you, like, weren't you a tennis player or something?
I haven't gotten that tutu yet that I was trying to get. You remember you had that lady on that does the skirts?
Oh, yeah. Silvana.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on that, but that's okay.
Did she? She never sent it to you?
Yeah, no, it's on a back order.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll make sure that. I'll make sure to mention that to her.
So I went down to St. Louis, and Joe Buck had a book signing for his book, Lucky Bastard, and he had John Hamm there. The two of them got up there and, you know, and did an interview. I had a book signed, and I had the book signed for Kyle Schwarber, because I think I recollect you were maybe not happy with the way Joe Buck was calling some of the games, and I'm hoping that you can help me get this book over to Kyle Schwarber.
No, wait a second. We got to have a rewind. You drove down to St. Louis.
Right.
To get Joe Buck to sign his book, Lucky Bastard? Now, was there a reason to go to St. Louis, or you just wanted to go down and get the book signed because Joe Buck was doing a book signing?
The latter.
You're into Joe Buck. You're like, listen, I'm going to St. Louis. I want to meet Joe Buck. I want this book signed.
Yes.
That's tremendous dedication. Way to go, Kathy. that's big time. That's a 5.5-hour drive just to get Joe Buck to sign a book. People don't make these type of efforts in life. That should be celebrated. Congratulations.
And
what's the Kyle Schwarber connection?
I had it signed for Kyle Schwarber, so I got to get this book to Kyle Schwarber. Because Kyle Schwarber, what you saying, it sounded like Joe Buck was wanting to marry Kyle Schwarber the way he was appraising him during the series.
I that's funny that you say that. I didn't notice the over-the-top Joe Buck for Kyle Schwarber, but I'm sure you're spot on about this. So you had Joe Buck say, "Dear Kyle"?
Yes.
And what did he write?
"Dear Kyle, best wishes, Joe Buck," and then also John Hamm was there, so John Hamm signed it.
John Hamm was there too, huh?
Yeah.
It was a celebrity softball thing.
Did he know that the Kyle he was addressing it to was Kyle Schwartz? Oh, okay.
Oh, that was
full disclosure.
That was an important part. So you just had him address it to Kyle. You didn't say that it was for Kyle.
Correct. So what you do is you put the name on a post-it note, you wait in the line, and then he signs it. You got to get this book over to Kyle.
Kathy, you should have told him that you were having him sign it for Schwarber. He would have gotten a kick out of that.
Well, it was kind of a crowded event. It wasn't entirely well managed.
Well, I get.
I didn't want to tick him off. He wouldn't even let photos be taken.
Okay. You know that a lot of people don't like Joe Buck, right?
Yes, that's the whole point of this.
You traveled 5.5 hours to get an autograph from somebody that people don't like to give to Kyle Schwarber. That's one of the more bizarre, what's the word that I'm looking for? Excursions. I think we can get this done. I'm not exactly sure how. I mean, I will be out covering Cubs games. I will be seeing Kyle Schwarber. And we're going to have to think this through. We'll have to reconnect around the baseball season. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I will follow you on Twitter. Yes, I will do that.
What's your Twitter?
I'll talk to you. I'll get to you somehow also through the station.
Okay. I'm around. At the Carm on Twitter, you follow me. You write at me. I'll follow you back. We can have direct messages into the whole thing.
Perfect,
Kathy.
I like our plot here.
I'm very excited. I don't want to overstate it here and be hyperbolic, but I think you're a hero, Kathy. So congratulations.
All right, thank you, and hopefully I'll have that skirt by then.
I'll work on that too.
I will write
when I get off at 5 a.m. Well, probably not right at that point, but sometime later today, I will hit up Silvana.
Okay.
All right. Have a great night, Kathy. Drive safe.
You too.
Okay.
All right, bye.
All right. There's Kathy. Drove to St. Louis to get Joe Buck's autograph.
Wow.
That's an effort, Badish, right there.
That is a big effort.
She's winning. By the way, Dexter Fowler signed with the Cardinals today. That'll be a story for the beat at 3 o'clock later this afternoon, although I might have to get into that in the overnight because I'm emotional on it. WGN, good morning, 241. I'm Mark Harmon. We'll be with you for the beat this afternoon at 3. I keep saying that as I brace myself that one of my favorite Cubs, Dexter Fowler, is now a St. Louis Cardinal. How does that happen? All right, I want to talk a little bit about the Don, our guy, President-elect Donald Trump, who took to Twitter, as Donald likes to do. It's really bizarre. The whole Twitter thing with Donald is just bizarre to me. He gets upset. He gets on Twitter, talks to the people. He's on Twitter. I don't know about the president and Twitter. That just seems crazy to me. But okay. Don was on Twitter this week. And what did he do? Well, he attacked Boeing. Quote, Boeing is building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents, but costs are out of control. More than $4 billion. Cancel order. And let me just tell you, it is not easy for me to agree with the Don. But in this particular instance, I'm right there with you, Donald Trump. $4 billion for a plane to keep the president of the United States safe? That seems like a lot of money. I'm willing to shop that around. I think we should pay less for that plane. $4 billion for a plane? Are you kidding me? No, I understand it's supposed to be a flying White House. And I know that we got to keep our president safe, that these things are important. And I know it's kind of a huge symbol to the whole world and all that. But $4 billion for a plane? I mean, I'm not an aviation expert. I'm going to be the first to tell you that, which might shock you at 2:43 in the morning, that I probably couldn't fly a plane. I certainly couldn't build one. And I'm a little bit confused, too, how when I put my seat rest not in the upright position, that the captain actually has a problem landing the plane. I never quite get that one. Why does my seat have to be in the upright position for you to land this plane? Never quite made sense to me. That's neither here nor there. Same thing with the tray lift. Why does that matter? Why can't my tray lift be down when this plane is landing in Chicago, Illinois, or Mexico, wherever I'm going, a la Rokan show? I feel like I should be able to have my tray, you know, like have a little tray lift down, even with a little soda on there. But regardless of all that, I mean, Boeing's stock went down $2 as the Don gets on Twitter. And I mean, literally, people like, oh my, I mean, that's power, right? People are speaking with their wallet. This dude goes on Twitter, says something about Boeing and the plane, and people are like, oh my God, Trump's going after Boeing. Sell. I mean, that's crazy to me. And I wonder if he realizes, you know, how much power social media, and it's, you know, it's in the moment and people change their minds. But as I was saying, about a broken clock being right, I think, you know, so many people are so still hyped about the election, and I get it, and I feel the same way. But there has to be, maybe we can have just a moment of coming together here at now 2:45 in the morning, 312-981-7200. Why? I know that there are people out there who are having a hard time agreeing with Donald Trump on anything. But on this one, I think we can jump on board. And so if you want to call in and say that, you know what, I didn't vote for the Don, but I'm with him now on this one, I think that's a nice move. Just, you know, open up your heart for a second. And for those on the other side who hated everything that Barack Obama did in his almost 8 years in office, January 20th, his final day, I'm going to bet that there was at least one thing, at least one, in those 8 years that Obama did that you actually liked and agreed with. And so you can share that. So it's open on both sides here. Is there anything that Donald Trump has done so far that you like and agree with and it's begrudging, but you know what, hey, that's cool. I'm on board with you. Like this, the bowling deal, $4 billion for a plane. Trump, I am with you, man. If taxpayers could pay less for the 747 that takes our presidents around, I am down. You want to fly in the Trump plane, which I've watched videos of the Trump plane tonight. Oh, my God. The seat belts in the Trump plane are gold-plated. That's what Don's riding around in. He's got gold-plated seat belts. He's got a bed in there that, the Don, when he flies, Trump's plane is like 7,000 times nicer than my house. I mean, it's unbelievable. But that plane didn't cost him $4 billion. He's like, hey, man, my plane's cheap. It only cost me $2 billion.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's written it off as a business.
I'm sure he has.
It's not costing him much of anything,
right.
Probably.
Well, that's
a very shrewd business.
It's not get crazy now.
Well.
But yes. I mean, the dude can afford a plane that's got gold-plated seatbelts.
Yeah.
He's doing better than I am.
I'd be afraid to touch him.
Right?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. Mike's got a thought on the plane. He feels that they are leaving out. This is a bundle of planes. All right, Mike, go ahead, man.
You left out a whole bunch of stuff. Number one, Trump bought his plane used.
Yep, that's true.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
The head of Boeing criticized Trump's foreign policy against China because Boeing does a lot of business with China. So that's why Trump, to his Twitter, said, and it's more than one plane. That plane can evade any plane in the U.S. Air Force or Navy.
So you think it should cost $4 billion, Mike?
It's not one plane.
Okay, so you think, okay.
It's more than one plane, and it's helicopters and whatever else. That plane will outfly the best fighter we have. Now, how much is that worth? It's got the most sophisticated electronic communication system in the world. What's that worth?
I don't know. I don't think $4 billion. $4 billion seems high, Mike.
For how many planes?
Well, it says here like two planes, $3 billion. It's not real clear as
the
to what
it contract hasn't been let yet. The only thing that's been let is $150 million for planning the thing. And they've got to go by government estimates and what the government wants in there.
So you don't think, hold on, Mike. This is interesting. You don't think that the taxpayers are getting sucked at all here for Air Force One, and you think that your money, whatever's being spent on this plane, is absolutely 100% needed, and we don't spend too much on it? Is that your take? You're comfortable with that?
My take is it's probably worth it using government numbers.
Okay.
But that's the same as Trump spending $7 million to save 700 jobs in Indiana,
right,
which they're going to use the $7 million to automate the plant, which is going to get rid of the 700 jobs.
Right. Well, I'm not sharing a positive vibe with him on the carrier deal. Let me ask you this, Mike. Is there anything that you've heard out of the mouth of the Don since he's become the president-elect or even before then that you're willing to say, you know what, I agree with you there, Donald Trump? Is there one thing that he said?
Let's see. He says he's not a racist, which he is. He says he's not a Nazi, which he is.
Well, hold on. Okay, let's not throw him.
He's not a Russian. Did you get the Washington Post today, by the way?
Yeah. Well, hold. So wait, hold on, Mike.
Or the CIA says they have proof that the Russians influenced the election.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's all over the place. Mike. Understand that we're on the same team here for the most part, but I'm looking for you to, if you can answer that question with a one word answer, no. Is there one thing that he has said that you've agreed with? Is there one?
There's a lot of things he said that I've agreed with, but he's gone back on every one of them since he won the election.
Name me.
He said everything he said, I'm for the working man. So he puts in a guy for the Secretary of Labor who doesn't like labor, who doesn't want a minimum wage, who wants to get rid of all workers. He doesn't want overtime. He wants to put robots in his restaurants. This is the guy that's the Secretary of Labor.
So the answer,
he said during the
right.
during the campaign that he's gone completely.
Did you,
he's going to drain the swamp. Well, every swamp dweller he's put in there works for big banks that he said were terrible.
What do you think about Bobby Valentine for the ambassador for Japan? Do you agree with that move?
I'm not familiar with Valentine.
Oh.
I can't comment.
I mean, he was a baseball manager. It's just bizarre. But all right,
baseball manager.
Yes.
Okay, that's as good as the woman from the WWF, right?
All right, Mike.
You know, man ain't gonna last a year.
Well,
he thinks he's running for king, or he's the king. And when Congress, even the Republican Congress, is through with him, he is gonna quit.
Hey man, we'll see how it all unfolds. We'll see if he gets in, if there's anything crazy happens before he gets into office, and whether he'll last. I got a feeling he's gonna last, Mike. I think you gotta brace yourself. I think he's gonna be there.
No, I'm not gonna brace myself.
Okay. Well, you do you, my man.
I'm telling you, I've talked to people on the station before. I'm a 68-year-old black man who went down to Alabama back in 1965 to help register people.
I didn't worry
about my life or anything else, even though people have been killed. After this election, I am thinking about getting a gun because I am tired of high school kids walking around with Trump signs hollering white power. I'm tired of billboards saying make America white again. I'm tired of people in California putting notes on Muslim mosques saying there's a new sheriff from town named Donald Trump. He's going to do to you what Hitler did to the Jews. This is not my country anymore. This is crap.
Well, hey, man, I hear what you're saying. Hold on. Wait a minute.
And the video of the white supremacists meeting in Washington, D.C. with their arms raised going, Hail Trump.
A lot of scary. Hey, Mike, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the fact that you went down to register people to vote in the 60s. I think that's incredibly awesome, and I love your passion. And there's a lot of scary stuff going on out there right now. A lot of scary stuff. I was looking for some love here and some positivity. And I get it. It is hard to get there. And who knows what's coming? Who knows? It's scary times. It really is. And the hate that we're seeing on the streets and swastikas popping up all over the place and different stuff going on as far as people, ripping off hijabs off Muslim people. It's just, it's terrifying. Which is why I was trying to have a moment here where we can sort of see the other side. And the people that are using Trump being elected, to let their hate out, shame on you. Shame on you big time. But it's scary seeing the stuff. It really, really is. But I do like to believe that is a vocal, very vocal, but extreme minority. Maybe it's bigger than I like to think that it is. But the people that I know, and I know a lot of people, that is not the world that I grew up in. That is not what I feel on the streets most of the time, if not 99%. But I read the news every single day like you do, and it is, what would be a word? It's scary, it's depressing, and there's a lot of things, a lot of crazy things that have happened in a lot of nations, right? I mean, we have seen some stuff outside this country that might, I hope not. I mean, But I do worry. I guess my biggest concern is, now we've gone down this road, my biggest concern is if something bad happens to this country financially in the next 4 years, or we get attacked. I mean, what does that look like? That, honestly, that's my biggest fear, because at that point, things might be a little bit different, and that's not that becomes a lot more uncomfortable than the fact that he's going to still be the producer for The Apprentice, which is ridiculous, by the way. WGN, good morning. 2:58 on your Friday overnight into Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen in for Matt Bubala. We'll be with you till 5 a.m. and then back later this afternoon, 3 o'clock for The Beat. And we'll have, of course, Hamp, LB, and Kaz on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Bears and the Lions this week, down to 4 games to go in your football season. Interesting games for the Bears, too, as they play playoff contenders in every single one, and they'll try to see if their quarterback, Matt Barkley, is actually something of note going up against some playoff contenders, and they have a rookie running back in Jordan Howard. And I also want to give a shout-out to my guy, Adam Hoag, who's probably not listening right now, but Adam's been very vocal on Facebook. His son has a 22Q, and he had to have a serious operation on his heart this week, 2 years old. And there was video put out today by Adam and his wife of his son walking around in the hospital. And I just want to send my blessings, my good wishes, and my props, for lack of a better word, to somebody who's been so open about what's going on in his personal life on social media. And that's not easy, I don't think, to share that type of stuff and to show people what's actually really going on outside of covering the Bears. And Adam's been out there with that stuff, and prayers up, and it seems like everything went great for James, and he's on the mend, and I expect to see him very soon in his Wildcat/Blackhawk/Bears/whatever gear running around like he was before the operation, and on his way.
Yeah, I saw that too, and right? I want to add my best to him too.
Yeah, thanks, Roger. Good morning. 4:09. I see you waking up, rolling around in that bed, being like, you know what? I am going to get after this. I can feel your passion for a Saturday morning. Or, hey, if you're just getting home after a nice run tonight, perhaps doing the walk of shame right now at 4:09, that's cool. It's okay. Don't drink and drive. Don't do any of that. There is a huge momentum to Baddish Broadcasting going on right now. 815 texting in. We can really build it now. I'll donate the whole $150,000. And
what?
Yep. And I want to be the horse reporter. Love you, Carm, from the 815. To which I wrote back, my man. And then she wrote back, I'm a girl. I'll sell a horse to get the money.
Wow.
So,
Baddish. But wait, so what does she want to do with this report on horses?
She wants to be the horse reporter.
Okay, done.
Right. So now we're up to, and thank you very much for your generous donation to Baddish's Broadcasting. Now we're up to $173,584.37, plus a hefty bag of Bud Light, plus, how many horses do we have? 10?
No, cows.
Cows. How many cows do we have?
10.
Just lost the sheet.
10 cows.
How did I lose the sheet? How can you?
How do you do it? You're my manager. Losing everything.
I'm sorry. 10 cows. 10 cows. $173,584.37. I think that I actually got another.
We can always use more because there are other expenses. Whenever you buy a business,
I got another 23 cents too. So hang on a second here. 50. That's 60 cents.
60 cents.
173,584.60.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
I mean,
Roger Badge.
How much do you think we need for like lawyers?
We need a lot of money.
And equipment.
The more the merrier.
Okay.
We're probably lowballing you. We never. Right. You, it's hard.
That's just to buy the license. $150,000.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Roger Badish has had a dream of owning his own terrestrial radio station, and he's willing to do it in any part of this country, you know, North Dakota, which, by the way, that's going to be smack dab in the polar vortex.
That's okay.
And if I
now we have a service. If I had the radio station there, we could provide a service 24/7. We could be that voice within the vortex, calming people, telling them it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I need some support, actually, right now, 4:11 in the morning.
What do you need, bud?
Not,
I'm here for you.
Well, you're here, but I need more than you, with all due respect.
Oh,
to you.
All right.
The polar vortex is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bitter, 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 bitter disaster cold. We started the show like this a little bit ago.
It's not going to be that bad, but I mean, you've been through worse.
Okay, well, you speak for yourself. It's going to be that bad.
All right.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is it going to be that bad?
Well, wind chills down around zero.
Shantae, she printed out some stuff for me here. Polar vortex winter 2016-17 predictions. Freezing weather could strike Chicago northeast next week.
I told you that. It's going to get colder next week.
The meteorological term polar vortex refers to freezing Arctic air that circulates around the North Pole. Cold air is kept at bay by powerful winds known as the polar jet stream. And at times, the polar jet stream weakens, causing the freezing polar vortex air to spill downwards. We're about to have a spill downwards of a polar vortex, Banish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to get some strategy as how to get through the winter. I mean, I got CLTVs, WGN News up in front of me. I'm seeing negative 10, negative 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wind chill outlook, long range. That's long range for December 15th.
Yeah, well, December 15th is next Thursday. That is
right.
Not
I told you it was going to get colder next week.
Okay, well, listen.
All right.
Again.
I'm just talking about this weekend. You just want to get through this weekend.
No, I'm talking.
You need to prepare. You need to go to the store now. This is you. Carm is in emergency mode right now.
All I've been hearing since about October the 30th, right around the time when the Cubs won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get that in on every show. The Cubs won the World Series. All I heard is that this winter is going to be a complete disaster. It's going to be cold. It's going to last forever.
Not forever.
In
your mind, forever. Okay.
In relative winter terms, Badge, this winter is going to last forever.
At least until March.
And I'd like to know, 312-981-7200, how we're going to get through this together. Because I don't want to do this alone. I really don't. I want to be locked arms with the WGN listeners,
mm-hmm.
especially the ones that are here at 4:14 in the morning. And we need to get a strategy. We need to think this through. I mean, I'm staring at Shantae right now. Shantae looks nervous to me.
She's scared. Is she scared about the cold?
Shantae, would you like to speak to your anxiety about winter? She's speechless, Banish.
Oh, my. She's really scared.
Yeah.
No, we can't. All right. We got to save her.
Right.
And forget about you.
Right.
I'm more worried about Sean.
Right. And listen, I love this city.
Yeah.
Grew up here. I would never leave
mm-hmm.
unless I got a better job that paid me more.
Hey. Well, all right. I'll give you $5,010. I'll give you $5,000, a cow, and half of the bag of Bud Light.
I mean, I'm getting some practical advice from the 847, dress in layers.
There you go.
I mean, I know that one, though. I want it outside
but
the box.
Do you do it?
Sure, I do it.
All right.
I got my long underwear. Got a nice set of, I got a nice blue long underwear that I go with.
Sweet.
I got my ski hat. I got my gloves.
Yeah.
Got a little issue with the car. The car is it's on the last legs here. It's making a noise.
Oof.
It's going like this.
Does it do it just when you start it up, or the whole time you drive?
No, it starts when I'm driving. You got a breakdown of that?
Well, does it continue after the car's warmed up?
Yep.
Uh oh.
What do you think's going on?
Could be your power steering.
You think it's the power steering? No, I think it's worse than that.
Could be.
I mean, I need a...
Sounds like
actually,
that.
I need... this is another real concern. I love being on the radio. It's really great because you can just ask for things and people come up
and
with
they
it.
They can help
you. I need a mechanic who's reliable and on the north side of the city. Who do you trust?
Well, I got one.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Where at?
Right on Howard Street.
Howard's a little far.
Well, what do you mean it's a little far?
Howard's a little far. I'm up in Lincoln Square. Howard's like...
Yeah, Lincoln Square's not... By the time your car warms up, you'll be there. ZB...
All right, we'll talk. ZB Auto Repair.
ZB Auto Repair.
All right. I'm writing that down.
Hey, when the Blizzard Mobile got stuck on Lakeshore Drive, these guys saved it, brought it back to life.
Wait, say that again. ADD just kicked in. What did they do? They saved who?
They saved my Blizzard Mobile.
What was your Blizzard Mobile?
It's my car that got stuck on Lakeshore Drive.
How'd they save it?
First of all, the whole engine was in a block of ice.
Okay.
All right.
Engine and a block of ice sounds like a problem.
A huge problem.
Uh-huh.
They towed it.
Uh-huh.
They put it up on the rack.
Uh-huh.
And popped the hood, and they've got this huge heating lamp.
Yeah.
Right in the corner, right next to the rack where it was on, and they thawed out the engine.
It's not that impressive.
Changed a few parts. That sucker, good as new.
No, changing the parts, that got me excited. The heating lamp that you just described kind of scared me.
No, it was fine. That's the only... What were they going to do, chip away at the thing? They could have damaged the engine.
Brilliant strategy.
These guys are awesome.
ZB Auto Repair. All right. Hey, Dan, welcome to WGN. What do you got, Dan?
Well, I was thinking, Carm, the last time I talked to you, I was worried about you going off the upper deck over at in Cleveland for the World Series.
It was close, Dan.
Now... You're talking about going to North Dakota after you started the show, talking about how cold it's going to be for the next couple of days. And I kind of have a solution to your problem, but it's not going to help Roger at all. See, you could go down to Arizona and do his show from Orion Studio down in Arizona.
I like that.
I don't know if management's going to support that move, though, Dan.
See, Roger would have to get on board now.
I'm ready for it. You can phone it in.
And that was one problem I saw. You guys were talking about the John Glenn earlier.
Yeah.
I was living down in Florida when he went up in the shuttle. When he went up in the shuttle, I was out there at Kennedy. And I've actually seen 6 launches, which were, if you've never seen one, the coolest thing you'd ever see in your life.
How close do you actually get to if you're watching a launch there, Dan?
Well, the closest anybody gets, the cameras that are filming, what you see on TV,
right?
They're closest they get is 5 miles.
Okay.
From the launch pad. So you can probably figure the viewing public is probably 7 miles away. Anybody that happens to be there is probably 7 miles away from the launch pad.
Can you still feel the heat?
You can. Oh my God.
Right.
You know everybody thinks when that thing takes off. And it looks like it's going up, and it's kind of, you can see it's going fast, but it doesn't look like it's really, the minute it leaves the top of that tower, it's like it's shot out of a cannon.
Wow.
It's over in Europe in like 4 minutes, and think about this, in under 10 minutes, it's doing 77,000 miles an hour.
Truly incredible. Who figured that out? Honestly, if I was the first person, I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, Dan, while you've been listening, but if I was the first person on Earth, I don't think I would have invented the chair. We would all have been sitting on the ground. There's no way I would have invented forks and knives. We've been eating with our hands. Somebody figured out how to propel a rocket into space. I mean, seriously.
I told people when I moved down there, I was moving down for work, but that was kind of half true. But it was mostly because I was such into that space program and wanted to see one. I wanted to see it go off so bad. It was kind of a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Well, I saw 4 day launches and 2 night launches, and absolutely, I cannot believe that human beings figured out how to do that. The coolest thing I ever saw in my life.
# impressive humans. That's big time. Dan, what do you do?
I drive a truck.
Where are you right now?
I am down in – I just left Owensboro. I'm on my way back. I do 600 miles every night.
Wow. How long have you been doing that, Dan?
You guys get me through every minute of it.
Dan, you're the best, man. I appreciate you, my brother.
stay off the ledge, man, and just bundle up.
You know that Dexter Fowler's a Cardinal now, Dan, right?
Yeah, you know.
These things.
I think he's gonna hate it, but with the money they're giving him, look at Chapman. Chapman went back to $85 million. How many pitches does he throw in a game?
About 15, on average.
Well, figure that out. How much money per pitch?
Let's think about that. Let's do that math. I like math these days. Hang on a second, Dan. Don't go anywhere. Let's do this together. Let's get the old calculator out on the phone. So let's say that he has. Let's just be aggressive. He's going to be still have 60 appearances times 15 pitches. He's going to throw 900 pitches this year. All right, 900 pitches divided by, let's call it 18 million. 900. Let's see here. Hang on a second here. $18 million divided by 900 pitches. It's 20 grand a pitch.
I think he can help Roger out with his GoFundMe page.
20 G a pitch, Dan. We should have all been throwing the baseball.
I'm serious, man. Wow.
Thank you, my brother. Drive safe.
All right, have a good night, bud.
Thanks, man. That's Dan.
Bye.
312-981-70. $20,000 a pitch.
Wow.
I mean, that was a real rough. $20,000. That was a real rough estimate there. But
that's more. One pitch was more than I made as news director at a station in Vegas.
You know, my first gig in broadcasting, WLBK, was the sports director. They paid me $18,500.
Boy, you got more at that one than I got at that station in Vegas.
Well, I was a little bit older. And, you know, this time's...
Yeah, sure. Of course, that was back in 79 when I worked there.
18-5. Dave Bevito was running the station. Anybody knows Dave Bevito? I'd love to get a text on
that. I know Dave Bevito.
No, you don't. Bevito.
Oh, no, different one.
I ever... First, I also did play-by-play. I got an extra $50 for play-by-play games. First
game?
Yeah. Okay. First game, Badish. DeKalb Barb football.
Ooh.
DeKalb Stadium.
Sweet.
Drove the station car over there. Little station wagon action. Like a Ford Taurus station wagon. After the game, I'm so psyched, right?
Right.
Phenomenal performance. I got a play-by-play game in the book. I get in the car. I'm driving down whatever road that was in DeKalb, major thoroughfare. I listen to some music, put the head down, switching the channels, look up.
Oh, God, no.
Wham. Back cracked into a pickup truck, totaled the car.
Oh, no. no wonder you need a repair shop.
24 years old or whatever the hell I was, first broadcast, I totaled the vehicle. I thought they were going to fire me.
They should have. You just lost the morning gig.
They're like, what really happened? What happened? Exactly what I just said. I wanted to put some music on. I was celebrating. How fast were we going? Not that fast. It would have been worse.
Wow.
Totaled the vehicle.
Jeez.
That happened.
By the way, I have a correction.
Yeah.
It's early in the morning. It's not ZB. It's BZ. Auto repair.
Oh, BZ?
BZ.
Okay.
I apologize.
No problem. BZ. Auto.
I got so excited.
Alan, welcome to WGN. How are you? Good morning. Alan, turn your radio down.
Okay.
There you go, Alan. Don't worry about it. We got time for you, buddy.
Alan's the man.
What's on your mind, Alan? Says you, you
I would
help.
Come down, I would get your car and take it to where I work.
Yeah,
and help you out and save you money.
What do you think's going on with my vehicle, judging by the noise that I made?
It's something simple. It's not expensive. If we not get it in time, it'll be good.
That sounds like something that's simple.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
I'll come down today to get. After you're off, I'll meet you in Lincoln Square.
Let me think about this, Alan, as we do a business here. This could be illegal. I don't want to get fired here, but no.
You're not going to get fired.
Well, hold on.
You're going to be good.
Well, you don't run the station, so I don't know if you have the power to say that, Alan.
No, but I want to save you money.
Okay, but
old car, I have old cars. And so,
but let's
tender, loving care on the old cars.
Alan, let's think about this in real terms.
All right.
We've never met, right?
No.
Okay, so you're going to show up in Lincoln Square. I'm going to give you my car.
Right.
And you're going to take the car where?
To where I work.
Okay, you're going to take the car to where? Am I coming with you to work, or are you just taking the car away?
I'll leave my car there with you.
You'll leave your car. What car are you leaving with me?
Either my 93 Toyota Wagon or my 89 Cutlass Supreme.
Okay, so you're going to take the car. You're going to go to where you work. You're going to fix my car.
Yep.
You're going to bring it back.
Yes.
And then you're going to take your car and go on your merry way, and I'm going to pay you?
It's Christmas.
Alan, you're the nicest person that I've ever met on the radio at 4:26 in the morning on a Friday overnight into a Saturday.
Thank you.
That is very generous of you. And what other good deeds have you done lately, Alan?
Well, I helped my boss's daughter that was adopted in the family. She was 18. She ruined a derailleur on a bike. And he took it to Walmart, and Walmart said to him, it's unrepairable. So I said, let me take it. So I went to a different Walmart, a bigger one in Palatine, and I saw a manager on Friday night. I said, the derailleur is bad, and this lady moved and has a daughter, which is 18 years old, and the derailleur went bad, and it's a year and 6 months. And let's see what the bike guy says. So Monday, late in the afternoon, the bike guy calls me and says, it's unrepairable. I said, let me speak to your manager. He knows how old the bike was. So the manager of the store came on, a lady manager, and says to me, what's going on? So I told her that the bike was a year and a half. The lady who owned it has the daughter move several times and has a receipt in boxes, which is true. And the derailleur is bad. A year and 6 month old bike should last much longer. So she said, she'll call me back. And then she did. We're going store level to get you a new bike.
Wow. That's big. Alan?
Yes.
Congratulations. You're contributing you're contributing to society, Alan. You're doing a lot more than everybody else out there, or some people out there, or most people out there. How's that?
That sounds good.
You be safe out there, Alan. Thank you, brother.
I will.
All right, my man, Alan.
And call me if you want me to get your car.
Okay, will do. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. Man's calling in to save my car. I can't take
him. Not only is he going to fix your car, but he's giving you a loaner.
I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's going to show up. I actually think, and I love you, Alan. I don't want to. There's these things in radio. You just can't do stuff like that. I don't want to lose my gig over my car. But I believe that Alan would actually do that. Like,
he
that
would.
Dude was legit. He would come to Lincoln Square, get my car, and hook me up.
Exactly.
I think there's something going on.
We got some great listeners. Oh, please don't make that noise again.
I want text line, please, 312-981-7200.
What is that noise?
I think it's the belt. I think I got a belt issue going on. That's what I think's happening. But I only think that because, like, about 50,000 miles ago, somebody told me that at some point I'm going to have to replace the belt.
Wait, 50,000 miles ago they told you that?
They said, like, in, like, 30,000 more, you'll have to get a new belt. They tightened the belt. At one point, the belt was tightened. But now I think I need a new belt. And then it's a whole debate. Do you, and on a 130,000-mile Honda, do you go new belt? Or do you say, you know what, it's time to upgrade the vehicle. Time for an upgrade.
That's what I'm being told about mine.
Yeah, so this is the debate. I mean, how much money do you put in a vehicle? Like, I think you're probably going to need new tires, and then the brakes are going to go. You got to make these financial decisions, Badish. These are the tough calls in life. Not exactly sure why, but Hugh Hefner is trending on Twitter.
Really?
He is trending. But most of the tweets are saying, when I saw Hugh Hefner trending, I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
But apparently he's not dead. Hugh is alive. Not sure why he's trending. All these tweets are saying the same thing. Hugh Hefner
had a different tweet. I don't see him on my trends.
Hugh Hefner is trending, and no one knows why. If he died, he should have received a 12... boob salute. Am I allowed to say boob at 4:37 in the morning? Is that legal? Banish?
Maybe.
I feel guilty now. Well, Banish, my trending, I'm in the United States. Are you just in Chicago?
I know, I'm in the United States, too.
Well, what do you have as your source?
Collateral, Beauty, Russia, Ranta, Triggered in Four Words, Fuller House Season 2, Santa's Day Job.
I think you've got Chicago and not the United States. What do you have as your...
United States.
Well, then, I don't know why.
All right, wait, I can hit this change button. Hold on.
There you go.
Trends tailored just for you. I don't care. Leaving it where it is. Okay. I'll look it up.
Well,
I'm keeping track of the storm that's coming in. We're getting some changes now.
What do we got? What's the changes?
Well, it's being extended to about 10 o'clock Sunday, and we're going to get more snow overnight than we are going to get tomorrow. So they're expecting the heavier part of the snowfall to come in tonight, as opposed to what we originally had was most of it coming in tomorrow.
So tonight would actually be like roughly 15 hours from now?
Yeah,
you're
roughly.
You're talking about Saturday
night. Well, it starts at 6 o'clock. It's going to start about 6 tonight.
6 o'clock, huh?
Yeah.
And how much snow are we going to get?
2 to 5 inches tonight on the overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow, about another 2 to 4 inches.
Okay. That's no big deal.
Heavier up north.
I don't care about the snow. The cold is what kills me.
Well, but it's
cold in the wind, Badish.
Dude, suck it up. Come on.
Oh, there it is. You know, that's
where's that positivity?
That's a thing. But I want to talk about this for a second. if I may.
You may.
There is...
It's your show.
Thank you. Good reminder. It's your show too, Roger. And Shantae's. And more importantly, you. I've gotten so much support on the text line on the vehicle. It's unbelievable. Okay. This is what I want to say.
All right.
If I may, just for a minute, get on my soapbox at 4:39 in the morning, 4:40. Everyone wants to think that when they were a kid, that's when it was tough. We were like, everyone thinks like nowadays the youth of America are just soft. And this got me there was a college basketball coach who was talking about participation trophies and kids today are soft and everybody gets this, everybody gets that. Just a quick reminder here as we wake up on a Saturday morning. There has never been more competition in the world than there is now. It is harder and harder to get into a good school, to play athletics, to really do anything. We just keep on raising the bar. In whatever field you're in, people are just better and better and better and better. So to say that the kids of today are soft and don't have the grit that we had back in the old days when, as Badish just put it, you got to suck it up and walk 10 miles to school uphill and walk the same uphill on the way back home, it's just not actually true. Just want to give credit to the youth of America for what they're up against and how they're competing. I feel better now. Thank you very much for having me. Let me have that moment. And I see you, youth of America. I know it ain't easy. I know when you go to school, there's a lunatic sitting next to you that probably had kale for breakfast. It's going to have more kale for lunch. It's going to run 10 miles. It's going to read every book. This is going to be doing calculus when they're 6. And that's what's going on. Always trying to do it better. Nowadays, kids are going to be hosting radio shows when they're 5. They'll probably be more eloquent than I am. Not really saying much there, but you get the point. They'll sound better than Badish. They'll produce better than Shantae. And they'll be 4 years old. I've got deep thoughts. And I'm 4. How are you 4? You've learned so much. Well, I have this thing called the internet. I'm learning everything, and I just figured it out. I mean, I'm just very impressed by. You get a kid nowadays 6 years old who runs the remote control, who knows how to operate things in the house better, the dad or the 6 year old? Most times it's going to be the 6 year old, right? Figured it out. It was intuitive. I wasn't afraid. I just took this thing and yes, let me do it. Right? Like the 6 year old probably knows how to fix the plumbing better than the dad.
Well, they Google it.
Right. They Google it. They YouTube. They learn it. Then all of a sudden they're just doing it. I mean, in my house, my palatial apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a great blanket. I've got, what do I got? I got a TV.
You got a chair?
Yeah, chair.
Couch, whatever?
Yeah, couch. Couch's kind of old. Need a new couch.
Okay.
Bed? I probably need a couch more than I need a car. Got a bed.
Okay.
But if anything goes wrong in that house,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on the phone, man. I ain't fixing nothing. Home Depot, they're out of business if you're relying on me. But kids nowadays, I feel like they can do, it's like a more advanced dude. And female, the whole thing. So I give credit, man. Showing up at school, they got all their computers out. Multitasking, right? Kid nowadays, he does his homework, he's playing video games, and he's made 7 texts and 10 phone calls all at the same time.
Yep.
312-981-7200. People want to fight back on that? Is that what's going on here?
Uh-oh.
847 says, scientific data proves participation trophies do not help kids. It hurts them in the long run. If you're not first, you're last. Let me tell you something. When I was a...
Go ahead.
Back in the dark ages, when I was in elementary school, as they called it back then, K-5, we had field day.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, I got a ribbon. Third place. Second place. First place. Should they not give out third place trophies?
They used to. Second and third. Boom.
Right.
Done.
Right.
Well, no participation.
So the third place finisher, did he stop competing and think that third place was good enough?
No.
I got a ribbon.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I didn't like getting the third place ribbon. I was embarrassed by it. Give me a participation trophy? I mean, that's going in the garbage before I'm home. You can hand them out all you want. But the whole participation trophy thing, kids are competing like lunatics nowadays to be better. And they're like specializing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that there's like, oh my God, now they're giving participation trophies out. Everyone's going to stop competing. I don't. I think competition is very much alive and well, if not over the top, which is cool, by the way. You got to learn to, no one's going to give you anything, even if they give you a participation trophy. Hey, Roosevelt.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing this morning? I just turned on the radio and listening to what you were saying, that it was tougher back then. I'm 60 years old, mm-hmm. and it's tougher now than more than ever to be a kid in every facet of the word kid, everything that surrounds them, meaning there are more distractions for them to not stay in school because of the video games and all these different things that are out there.
Right.
As far as drugs, there are more synthetic drugs than ever before, and not to mention the drugs that we see on TV. When I was a kid, just like we always say, cliche, when I was a kid, there were never drugs that you would say, well, this may cause you, like what you see on TV, that this may cause you suicide, tendencies to commit suicide, diarrhea, bleeding of this and that. So in every facet of the word kid, nowadays, it is harder to be a kid. There are more guns on the streets. Look in the city. Look at the shootings on the expressways. It's just in Chicago. I think they had some ridiculous number between 80 and 84 for the past year. So when it comes down to a kid, you're right, there's more competition and everything, and there's more, along with competition comes more pressure. That's the part that you didn't bring up. So in every facet of the word kid, and not to mention the schools, how to get into college. When I was in high school, they weren't preparing you when you were a sophomore to be in college. Nowadays, there's this, race to get, and find a school, find a high school. We have it hard. We have 5 boys. We are always looking for a place for them to go to high school. It wasn't like that back then. You just went to the school that was closest to you, to where you lived. So it was easy back then. What's sad about it nowadays is these kids will never know how it is to have recess every day also. These kids had a lot more phys ed we had more phys ed than nowadays. They don't even have phys ed anymore.
Right.
And that
they don't? There's no gym?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Compared to the way we, well, I don't know how old you are, compared to the way I had it, every day we had gym.
Right.
You know, so nowadays, I think it's once or twice in grammar school a week, if that. Sometimes I even tell my kid, he's
you sure about that there, Roosevelt? I feel like they get rid of gym? I didn't know that was going on.
Chicago public schools don't have gym every day. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
All right. Well, there you go.
Okay. Thank you, Roosevelt.
Yeah. And in every facet, I mean, of their lives, more pressure. And that's not more pressure because they're competing against other students. It's more pressure coming from other schools, such as college, such as high school. So to be a kid nowadays, it's more dangerous also to be a kid. And that's all I gotta say. I got you,
Roosevelt. Thank you, my brother. Right. Thanks. I thought one word that you threw out there that was resonating with me was stimuli, right? I mean, you got so much going on. Kids nowadays are 7, 8, 9 years old. Here's your phone.
Overstimulated.
Right. It's just, I mean, how do you learn to focus when you've got a computer in your hand and you're 9? Let alone what you're going to find on that computer and how that can end up twisting you in different ways. It's a pretty difficult job out there being a parent right now. Interesting text from the 312. As a middle school teacher, I believe the downside of that competitiveness is a noticeable rise in kids who are being treated for anxiety. It's alarming. And that's another thing, too. Let me speak to the anxiety. People are, like, nowadays, oh, my God, I got anxiety. I got to get a pill. Let me just remind everybody of something. And I'm not a doctor, okay, fine, and I understand there are different levels, but everyone has anxiety every damn moment of the day. Crossing the street, I'm looking both ways. Is there a car coming? Right? I'm paying attention. There's some fear there. I got to pay attention. I'm defended, right? Or right now on the radio, I mean, I'm relaxed, but I'm also in some form of performance mode. Badish has his news in 10 minutes. There's a drop of anxiety there. Shantae's doing whatever she's doing. Everyone, maybe I'm dumbing it down too much here, but my general point is, like, everyone is feeling nervous about something all the time. There are threats around all of us at any moment. And so what we're learning to do is medicate that away. It's like, just be with the fact that you're in a little bit of fear, man. It's normal. It's not something that you got to, like, medicate yourself away from. It's fine. I got a little anxiety going on. That's the deal. And by the way, that's totally normal. I think people start to believe that it's not normal and they're feeling this, and then it sort of snowballs. And then you all of a sudden you become a case where you feel like you're super different. Back on the soapbox on anxiety. I don't know if that makes sense to the middle school teacher who wrote in, but that's kind of how I see it. Everyone's getting medicated, man. Why don't we talk that through a little bit more? Why don't we actually talk about what's going on rather than pilling it up? That would be my suggestion.
Well, who's going to lead the discussions on the talking it out?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Or teachers or parents or...
Well, teachers already do that a lot.
Well, yes and no.
There's been one.
Yes and no.
They can only do it on one by one.
He's ADD, he's ADHD, get him medicated, get him on pills.
But the teachers aren't the ones who are leading that.
Well, not necessarily, but I think that a lot of times...
It's parents.
Well, I think teachers meet with parents. Your kid's ADD, you might want to consider...
No.
No?
No, the parents have to approve that.
Oh, yes, they do. But I'm saying, I think some teachers out there might diagnose kids or give their opinion. Hey,
it's a doctor.
Right. Well, of course, I think your kid may be ADD. Why don't you take your kid to the doctor?
I don't think a teacher would come right out and tell a parent that. Not a teacher
sure?
is worth their salt. No. You would have a conference with the parent saying, we're noticing a trend in Bobby, Mary's work. Their attention spans are very short.
Are you saying my kid's ADD?
I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you what the evidence shows.
Okay.
And you have to go take you have to go have this discussion with your child, and here are the options for you, and you have to make this decision.
Okay, but okay, that's fine. But I wouldn't be shocked, Roger, if some teachers are taking
it. I wouldn't put it past some of the teachers do that. I agree with you.
And I, by the way, to our teachers out there, love you. You do a tremendous service to society. You don't get paid enough, and appreciate what you do, especially the good ones who are invested in the kids. Kimberly, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can.
The irony about this is that I have anxiety being on the phone calling in about anxiety.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, not only that, but society has become living in the future and in the past constantly, and humans were designed to live in the present, to like gather food, shelter, water. Like, we were made to like live in the moment and survival mechanisms, and now like society is built up around us so much that like we're living in tomorrow and yesterday, that that's where the anxiety and the depression comes from, is you're constantly regretting the past because you're not going to be far enough in the future. And, well, what can I do tomorrow to make sure I live up to expectations? And, like, you know, am I doing enough? Is it enough? Will it ever be enough? You know, and because I know for a fact I definitely have anxiety and depression. I'm not necessarily diagnosed, but I can feel it constantly. Well, and the best thing for me is to, like, honestly bring myself back to the present.
Well, and Kimberly, you're hitting on some important stuff here. Number one, I think when you're looking in the past and you're looking in the future and not being, as you're saying, in the present, you're avoiding yourself.
Absolutely.
And so when you actually are in the present moment, that can be super challenging because most likely you're feeling something, right? You could be maybe right now presently there could be hurt or anger, perhaps sadness. A lot of things could be going on that people I'm gonna busy myself and think about what I got to do tomorrow so I don't have to be with myself right now. But actually being with it, and by the way, you did a great job. You just approached the whole thing by calling in and speaking to it. I mean, that's seriously, that's a win right there.
Right.
You know, you just made a move. So
yeah.
I give you props. But that, I mean, I can relate. I'm always, well, what do I got to do next? What do I got to do? Oh, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about that. Rather than just like, you know what? I'm just going to be right here with Kimberly right now. And have that conversation. Being present is a big problem nowadays. So I think that's something for all of us to work on, myself included. I like that you named it, Kimberly. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great rest.
I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Have a great Saturday. Good call. Good call. Liked it. Let's see here. I don't have a ton of time. Sorry, Shante. One more call. Bill. Go ahead, Bill. What do you got?
Hey, you know how you were saying that teachers, coming out and saying your kids have ADHD. My teachers came out and told me right off the bat my kids had ADHD.
Thank you. Right. So what do you do with that, Bill?
Well, I told them they were crazy, and they said nope. And then I was like, you know, how do you figure they got ADHD? And they came out and said, well, your kids don't sit still. They get up. They wander around the classroom. They doodle. They don't pay attention.
Because they're a kid.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Can I ask a question? How old, when they told you this, how old were the kids?
My youngest was 5, and my oldest was 7.
See, Bill, I appreciate the call. We're up against the end of the show here, so I got to put you on hold. But, like, I don't know. I just don't think kids at 5 and 7 were meant to sit down at a desk for 8 hours a day. I know that some can and can be focused, but some kids, they just want to get up and run around.